Yes, I just put them on. What is today, the 11th of August, or 12th of August? Phil Wood's blindfold test.
Could you sit over there? It's distracting to us. That's a nice way to spend a Saturday afternoon. One of the most lyric, talented, romantic alto players. Mr. Pepper.
Get a little closer.
Art Pepper. That, I know that's not a guessing game, but that's certainly who it is.
Yeah.
And I love everything Art Pepper's ever done. I'm a big Art Pepper fan. Always have been a big Art Pepper fan. I mean, from Stan Kenton days. And recently I've acquired quite a few of the records through the great benefits of the reissues.
Mm-hmm.
Getting some of the stuff that I never had before, like the stuff with the big band. Small big band. What's the name of that?
Yeah, 10-piece band.
Yeah, creating meets the rhythm section. And, that's not a great Shakes special record, but it's some lovely Art Pepper playing. I don't know who the rhythm section could be. It could be just players that I'm just familiar with. There sounded like could be a lot of rhythm sections. Funny, the opening section sounded a little bit like stuff we did with the European Rhythm Machine. Just a little bit, just that. That opening stretch out chorus.
Like a composition?
Yeah, it had the shape to it. It had the basic form to it. And Art can do more with a tag coda than anybody I know.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
How's the rating out of 5?
Let's see, out of 5, I give Art Pepper 5 stars for just for just being an Art Pepper.
Yeah. You just turn that switch off.
I like the piano player. I don't know what the saxophone player was doing at all. I couldn't figure out why they bothered playing changes. I mean, there's obviously some harmonic scheme going on there. And I managed it. The saxophone player managed to avoid any reference to the changes happening. It seems to me bizarre. If you're going to play out, why have the restriction of a cat comping for you? Or maybe he thought he was making the changes. I don't know. I have, you know. Gee, as I say, the piano player seemed like he could play the chords. And I'm not against leaving the chord structure, you know, going up to upper partials and getting away from it and all that. If there's some sort of a design or something that lets me know that you're really working off the upper partials or something, you know. And there's such a thing as putting phrases together. It sounded like a spastic at times. I mean,
yeah.
I had trouble keeping up with the dialogue. It got much too busy for my tastes, you know. And the dichotomy between the harmonic scheme and the non-harmonic scheme, I think, is a fruitless path to try to make music on. I mean, it doesn't please me. Maybe it was a test of some avant-garde player to prove that he could play what is this thing called hate. I don't know. One star.
Yeah.
It was a Tony.
Tony
Braxton. Yes, well, I knew it was. There's a mean drummer on that. I'd just make an outside guess and say it was Billy Cobham and Stanley Clark. And it sounded like Chick Corea playing piano. Joe Farrell. Sounded like Joe Farrell on soprano. Good record. Nice song. Is it Billy Cobham?
I'll tell you when it's through.
Okay. Well, whoever the drummer was is really fantastic. A word about the recorded sound of the soprano, I thought wasn't very well done, just technically. Sound like they had him off somewhere. But a very nice line and very well played. I enjoyed the record, 4 stars.
Okay. Oh, you said something about the bass player doing the solo.
No, I asked you if it was Eddie Gomez, but I didn't have my ears on straight.
Oh,
I think it's Stanley Clark.
Did you like him?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Okay, well, you better.
But the alto player played a funny quote in there. He played, "There's a boat that's leaving soon for New York."
Yeah.
Which leads me to believe it was a West Coast recording. That doesn't matter, but I'm wondering if the alto player was sending a message that he wanted to get the hell out of that studio quick. That was dreadful. The producer, I can't blame the artist, really. I would have a few words for the artist, but I would essentially blame whoever advised him and whoever put that musical cacophony together. I mean, it's dreadful. It's really dreadful. The producer should be forced to spend a week and lock him in a small room and just listen to that over and over again. Not for the musical, not what's happening with the music, but just the sound is so bloody awful with the strings and the whatever it is. It's... the poor alto player didn't have a chance. Sounded like the cat could play. But it also sounded like it was very out of tune. And I'll tell you one thing about those kind of dates when you have all that business. I mean, I'm not talking about whether it's good music or bad music, but nevertheless, when you have strings and all that, there's a certain demand upon intonation and pitch that, I mean, in a small group, you can get away with playing out of tune in a way because you got nothing to match it against, or it sounds bluesy. You can get... But I suggest that you have to do another take and get the pitch right on, you know. Yeah. If you're going to make schlocky records, at least they could be in tune. I mean, I think that's minimal. Otherwise, it's, you know, a very ill-advised piece of business, one star.
What if I told you the artist was also the producer?
Well, then he must have perfect ears, no holes.
Yeah. Gary Bart.
Ah, those superb six. Super sax. Whatever happened to them? I have mixed emotions about super sax, as you know, Leonard. And I've been saying this. I've been saying that perhaps there's been a lot of good done by super saxes. It might have turned on a lot of young people to Charlie Parker, who otherwise might never have heard of Charlie Parker. And then I happen to know that Chan is having trouble selling some tapes, you know. And that to me is like... imagine having some Beethoven tapes you want to sell, and the people don't want to spend any money on them. You know, the record companies don't want it, and yet they will spend money on recording secondhand, and probably spend more money on the budget for this album than the tapes are asking. And the dichotomy of that kind of rationale, I don't know whether it's good or it's marvelous group, you know. It's a good excuse for a group, is all I can say. I'd hate to rate it, because you'd have to... I mean, what am I rating? Bird's chorus, or the performance of the same, or the couple of choruses they have to stick on to make the record longer. I think their records could be a lot shorter and just stick with Bird. I think that might be intriguing. The solos, kind of, as nice as they are, I would imagine that would be Conti. And I thought it was Carl Fontana, but I decided it wasn't Carl Fontana. But it's the record companies I don't understand. It's not the groups. Everybody that's playing music, I figure, is okay with me, man. But when you have trouble dealing with the fresh, new Bird, I mean, that is really far out, isn't it? I mean, I just happen to know that for a fact, it's very curious, you know. It's like having an original Beethoven. Well, man, you're asking too much bread for that. but to rate the performance of the way they play, 3 stars for the overall...
Do you know what your list was on record disco?
No, I don't. Oh, it's Kim. Oh, yeah. The only man that could play the sea serpent like that was Eric Dolphy. And he was something else on that bass clarinet. That was a hard beast to tame with a pitch. Boy, that was weird. The whole band was out of tune anyway. I know, the trumpet player sounded a little like Ted Kersen, but I'm not sure if it was Ted Kersen or not. Anyway, it was all Eric's record. And I had the great pleasure of working with Eric on John Lewis's Orchestra USA. And we had to record the Star Spangled Banner. And we were given parts, a straight arrangement. And on the reading, you know, Eric had the melody part, as we all did. And I never heard such an impassioned Star Spangled Banner. You know, Gunther had to say, "Eric, you'll have to just cool it a little bit. It's drowning out the rest of the band." Anyway, that's who I think it is. And, I loved Eric Dolphy. I thought he was... He knew what he was doing. He would go, as I say, as opposed to that other gentleman. Eric would go outside, and he knew where the roots were. He knew he was really dealing within the form, with all the responsibilities that entails. And he would go off the high board with some funny notes, but I always had the feeling that he knew what he was doing, you know. I mean, he communicated that to me as a musician anyway. So I'd give that 3 stars for the... I didn't know quite what to make of that at first until I heard Benny Carter. And Benny Carter. That's all you have to say, really. The first complete musician and always one of my favorite people in the whole world. He just sounds marvelous. As I noticed, as when you first started playing the record, I said, boy, that lead alto player is really something. Cause, you know, I'm a big sax section fan. Sorry to say, I don't really know who the other players were. I'd just be stabbing in the dark, but I don't think it's important. I think the important thing is Mr. Benny Carter continues to play so beautifully, and I assume that was his chart and the immaculate voicings. And I don't know, some people would say the rhythm section was old-fashioned or something, but they were just chomping, stomping with the music. You know, it's the way it has to go. I loved it. I loved it. Five stars.
Great. Thank you.